Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Tyler, why don't you get your butt out there sometime and sweat like they do?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Ron Ugly is out. Ron, the show Ugly is out. Brandon Scott B. Skeezy is in. And that damn T-Mill, he's back, y'all. Real deal. T-Mill is in the building.
Hey, we can start the show now.
We can start the show. 3 o'clock start on the drive today.
The drive is live.
Come on, man. Big shout out to Figgy Fig, man. We got a great team here, man. When something goes down and you need somebody to help you out, somebody to fill in, the team's always got you, man. That's what great teams are always about. And our Sports Radio 610 team is always about each other and taking care of each other. And Figgy Fig is a perfect prime example of that level of teammates. So good to have you back, man. Good to have you back in the building. Glad everything's all right. As I said, B. Scott is in for Ron the show. Uglin, we're rocking and rolling here. I'm going to get to that NBA Finals breakdown. I do want to get to a B. Scott breakdown, if you will. But before we get there, though, there is a little breaking news here. By the way, if I spell the name, how do you say it? Gerry. Is that Gary or Jerry, boys?
I'm going to assume Jerry.
Yeah. You know,
it could be because people can do whatever they want with their name, but I'm a guess Jerry.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jerry.
Then I'm going to go with Jerry then. Jerry Dulac. He covers the Steelers PGA Tour for the High Post Gazette, baby. Steelers Radio Network host. So he knows what the hell he's talking about. Breaking. Aaron Rodgers has informed the Steelers that he plans to sign a contract and attend minicamp next week, per sources. So while it's been awfully quiet on the Aaron Rodgers Pittsburgh Steeler front, other than all of us just assuming that it may happen, and Aaron Rodgers is holding them hostage, and what are the Steelers doing? What the hell are they doing? You know, they got a quarterback. This option's better than Aaron Rodgers. It looks like it's going to happen, folks. Aaron Rodgers plans to fly. This is Adam Schefter, by the way. Aaron Rodgers plans to fly to Pittsburgh this week and participate in Steelers' mandatory minicamp. And he goes on to talk about Aaron Rodgers and just giving some details of kind of how they've navigated the last 2 months, if you will. I don't know exactly where I read it, but I believe it's Aaron Rodgers plans to sign a 1-year deal in Pittsburgh. We'll see. I remember Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm sure he was just tongue-in-cheek talking about it was never about the money. I'd play for $10 million a year. We'll see if he really plays for $10 million
a year. Yeah, I doubt that. Now, I will say, though, at Aaron Rodgers' age, every deal is a 1-year deal at this point. Got to be. Yeah. You know, yeah,
but I think so. Darkness.
But I wouldn't think that it's got to be more than $10 million for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. We'll see how serious Aaron Rodgers is. But B. Scott, just your thoughts about let's just assume that what Adam Schefter and Jerry Dulac here are talking about, let's assume that it's going to happen. I mean, I think these are some pretty significant details. He's flying to Pittsburgh. He's going to attend a mini camp. He's going to sign a 1-year contract. I think it's probably safe to say that it's highly likely that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, given he signs the contract and stays healthy. Your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh and what that means for the Steelers with everything we know about what's going on in Pittsburgh?
So the first thing I thought about when we read the news was the two significant acquisitions now that the Pittsburgh Steelers have made over the offseason. And, of course, we know that they have obviously changed their quarterback situation now, bringing in Aaron Rodgers, but also bringing in DK Metcalf, yep, and also getting rid of George Pickens and sending him to the Dallas Cowboys. That completely changed the makeup in the hierarchy of their wide receiver room. And then, of course, now you're thinking about Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf as a tandem. Immediately started thinking about how long is it going to take them to get that chemistry for that back shoulder throw, because you got to figure that it's coming given Aaron Rodgers' history and DK Metcalf's just sheer ability as an incredible athlete, a big body kind of type of guy who, you know, just seems like he's perfect for that type of role with Aaron Rodgers. So this changes the calculus. I know this is something that we all expected to happen anyway, or at least I would have been surprised if one way or another he didn't end up in Pittsburgh at some point. It was just a matter of when. But this definitely, I think, changes the calculus of what's going on in the AFC. I think you actually have to take the Steelers somewhat seriously, even though you don't know exactly what this is going to look like. We talked a little bit about it in the crosstalk of, you know, is Aaron Rodgers going to give a little bit and sort of realize the mistakes of his brief New York Jets era,
yeah,
and make the necessary changes, you know, in terms of, you know, how they work with people, you know, and I guess that's not maybe the proper way to put it, but he brought in his own people before. Now he's going where the infrastructure is already there. Now it's going to be a little bit more give and take.
Well, look, here's the thing. There's no doubt about it that Aaron Rodgers is unorthodox, is different. I personally think a lot of that is magnified significantly since the whole COVID-19 thing, the vaccination thing. And so I think a lot of it is blown out of proportion by a huge chunk of media members. I think that shifted the opinion of Aaron Rodgers for a lot of folks. And those folks are never coming back. And to each their own. But he doesn't do anything to even try to get them back. He doesn't care. So with all that said, you know, I could see where Aaron Rodgers would go get to New York and go, boy, this is a dysfunctional organization. But I'm Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we can do things my way. I can get a couple of my guys in here. They got some good young guys. They got a good defense. And we can go we can go win some games and maybe get some momentum, get some things rolling, and who knows. I could see where Aaron Rodgers would get there and then feel like because of who he is and how much football, how he's won a Super Bowl, he's won four MVPs, yada, yada, yada. I could see where he could think he's the best thing since sliced bread and could fix all of those problems. I got to believe after what he went through in New York for 2 years. Even the most arrogant, the most hard-headed individual, you go through 2 years like that, you got a different perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I got to believe that on the flip side of that, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a far cry. Say what you want about Mike Tomlin. Say what you want about the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they are, what they aren't. They're damn sure not the Jets. They're damn sure not a dysfunctional organization like the Jets.
They're the antithesis to the Jets.
So they're
the exact opposite.
Right. So you come into a stable organization, I got to believe that Mike Tomlin, there's an understanding of like, hey, man, you're not coming in here and taking this building. This is my building. This is the Steelers. That I got to believe that there's some kind of give and take, a lot more give and take from Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh than there was in New York. Not to mention that Aaron could look at Pittsburgh and go, hey, I can win with this. These dudes, they're doing things the right way. This is not dysfunction. I can be a piece. I can be a quarterback, and I can win some games. And so, you know, we'll see what comes of it, but I just think this is every year, B. Scott, moving forward, there's going to be a veteran quarterback that's out there late, that's had a good run, good career, and there's going to be two or three teams that are sitting there with a quarterback room full of guys that just ain't got it.
Yeah.
And it was the Bucs a couple of years ago when Tom Brady came out and he was able to go to win a Super Bowl. It was the Jets a couple of years ago when Aaron Rodgers became available. It was an absolute mess, right? And now here we are again. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers when Aaron Rodgers comes available and you got a chance. Also, Kirk Cousins is out there. He's not an all-time great. Doesn't have the resume of those other guys, obviously. But there'll be somebody get desperate and make a move because you got to have a quarterback that can at the very least – at the very least, can not get you beat.
Yeah.
And I think Aaron Rodgers is far better than that, but I'm talking about the Kirk Cousins deal. There's a level of, if Kirk Cousins can play good football, there's a level of, hey, man, I'm smart enough to go out there and beat pressures and the ball go to the right spot and not get you beat, even though last year you can argue he was getting Atlanta beat consistently.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins is just a matter of, does he even have anything left or what does he have left? But from the Steelers' standpoint, this is pretty simple to me. They are in need of a quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is the best available quarterback that they could have gotten, and so they went out and got that guy, and so that part of it is pretty simple. With Aaron Rodgers, it is the complicated part of, okay, how self-aware is Aaron Rodgers? I think that is the part of the criticism that is fair with him, of him being a little bit self-important, and with good reason, because he's an all-time great. I think at times it's looked like perhaps even the greatest we've ever seen at various points of his career. Obviously, has won 4 MVPs and all that type of thing. But is he going to capitulate? Is he going to do the exact thing that you're talking about? And I'm not exactly convinced. I think it could still work, though, because the infrastructure is strong enough, like what we were talking about a moment ago, of how this is just the exact opposite of the Jets. They do have a culture set up. They do have an established offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith.
Yep.
And obviously, Mike Tomlin sort of runs the ship there. So I think this is the perfect situation. Or I put it this way. If anybody is suited for the Aaron Rodgers experience, bringing in Aaron Rodgers and everything that entails, both good and bad, and maybe in between, just complicated and nuanced, maybe not necessarily good or bad, just different and specific to Aaron Rodgers. If any team was suited to do that, I would think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And from Aaron Rodgers' side, I would be intrigued by that. Hey, here's a place that's ready for me. Like, I'm going to the Jets, and the Jets, if I'm just being honest about it, don't deserve me. If I can come in here and walk all over the organization and pick my people and they don't know what they're doing, they don't even deserve an Aaron Rodgers, so to speak. But the Steelers, you wouldn't say that about. And so it'll be interesting to see what the give and take is between the two parties.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, look, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. So I think, and I've always been the veteran quarterback fan. Like, I understand guys' games, obviously don't always age really well. But you give me a veteran quarterback, even a Kirk Cousins-like guy, you give me one of those guys that goes to the line of scrimmage, B. Scott, and there's nothing a defense can throw at these guys that they haven't already seen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that is such a huge advantage when you bump them up against maybe more talented guys that are young and haven't experienced it. When you've got a guy that's seen every pressure, every zone coverage, every telltale sign on how they play these coaches, that is a huge advantage. Now, I understand when you move on, you got to get a young guy that you believe in, you got to develop that guy, you got to live and die with that guy's mistakes. I get that, but that's not where the Steelers are. And Aaron Rodgers being available, I just think it's a huge upgrade.
And then this is just a kind of a side point, but I look at that division now, and for various reasons, and some of them not good reasons, but every team in that division has a fascinating quarterback situation. Yeah. Now, obviously, the Browns is his own situation, and it's fascinating, not necessarily for a good reason, but it is pretty damn fascinating. And then the rest of these guys got Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Aaron damn Rodgers, Clint. Like, I cannot wait. And they were on, it's funny because the AFC North was on Hard Knocks last year.
Yeah.
And so, because they're doing the in-division, in-season Hard Knocks thing. I would have loved to have seen them fast forward that and do it, and maybe even run it back this year. I'd love to see what that looks like.
Well, yeah, just think if Deshaun Watson was, even if he wasn't the Deshaun Watson we knew, if he was just a serviceable quarterback and they were still holding out hope that he could be the guy and he was the fourth best quarterback in that division.
Yeah.
That would be.
Well, the fact that he's there and they got all of this other stuff going on in the quarterback room is fascinating in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
quality
of quarterback. Yeah, absolutely.
But the Pittsburgh Steelers, again, to put a bow on this thing, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Adam Schefter, a couple other people, Jerry Dolak have announced that Aaron Rodgers has agreed to fly to Pittsburgh next week and partake in the mandatory minicamp. And I'm seeing some reports that it's a 1-year deal. Haven't seen a number yet. We'll see. But it looks like this Aaron Rodgers saga is coming to an end. Look at the supporting cast on the offensive side of the football for the Steelers. Jalen Ward, Caleb Johnson, Kenneth Gainwell at the running back position. You mentioned DK Metcalf. Robert Woods is slated as a starter here. He was here last year. Calvin Austin, a smaller speed guy there at the wide receiver. Pat Freiermuth, a really, really good tight end, along with Darnell Washington, that big sucker out of Georgia a couple years back. And then you look down their offensive line. I think their offensive line got better as the season went on last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they fixed all their problems, but I think they got better and should have a decent group of offensive line in front of Aaron Rodgers. And then the defense is you know, with T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith and all these guys, Minka Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr., they got some dudes. And we'll see if Aaron Rodgers can you know, put it all together and see if these guys can't make a run.
And I will just add, from a Texans perspective, the AFC just got a little tougher. It did.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Just get a little bit more competitive. Now, you're hoping that the Texans are going to be in a position to win their division. We all expect them to do that. But if they're fighting for a wild card spot, that's going to be a crowded division over there that could have two, possibly three teams that make the post, that make the playoffs. So the AFC certainly got quite a bit better, I think, with this move.
That's right. That's B. Scott right there. He's in for Ron to show. Ugly T. Mill. Tyler Milner is behind the glass. You listen to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. I want that B. Scott breakdown, baby. NBA Finals is right around the corner. Game one is tonight. B. Scott breakdown, NBA Final Edition, is next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Ugly is out. Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com and B. Scott of H-Town B. Skeezy, you know what I'm talking about. He is in for Ron the Show Ugly. He was with me yesterday. He's with me today. Hell, he's been on Sports Radio 610 more over the last couple of weeks, and I have. Hell, then Ron has, then Sean has, then Seth has. You've been busy, Chief.
You know what? I ain't think about it like that, but you're right. I think this is my maybe sixth or seventh straight day.
Yeah.
What is today even? Thursday? Yeah.
Yes, Thursday.
Yeah, so I think I've been in at least since last Thursday. Yeah.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
Yeah, how's it feel to be a full-time radio guy?
Yeah, no, it's good, man. It's good to... I will say though, that morning shift, it's got its pros and cons, right? Like trying to wake up for a morning show, man, I do not envy those guys at all. But your day being over at 10 a.m., gotta say, man, I like that. But sleeping in is still way better. I'm sure as Tyler can attest, right? You feel me?
Damn, Skeezy.
That was well played.
Hey, yeah, I can't even hate on that.
Hey, but you lucky Ron. Now, he would have gave you way more ish than that.
Oh, shoot. I wish he would have.
That was the lighter version.
And see, that's the ironic part of it. Because if you were being for real right now and busting my you know what, I could take that. Ron come at me? Uh-uh. Sorry, show.
That is great. But you're here now, baby. You're here now. You're awake and you're here now. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and in the studio, baby, rocking and rolling.
French.
All right, the NBA Finals, y'all. Game one is tonight. And we dabbled a little bit earlier. 7:30 p.m. is tip, by the way. And I don't know if this line is held steady or not, but right now OKC is favored by 9.5. You got Indiana Pacers.
That's where they play at.
That's right. Indiana Pacers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And down the stretch, correct me if I'm wrong, B. Scott, but down the stretch, I don't remember how many games it was, but down the stretch, these were record-wise the best two teams in the NBA.
Yeah, eventually. Now, of course, the best two teams were, you know, Oklahoma City and
Cleveland.
Yeah. But... you know, Cleveland got walked down.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah,
down,
so that's
down
where
the
we
stretch,
are.
I can't remember the number, but in the last 20 or 30 games of the season, these two teams' records, I mean, they didn't lose much at all.
Minnesota was up there, yeah. And of course, Golden State after they got the Jimmy Butler trade. It was a couple of teams up there, but these were the two best.
Well they crank up tonight, and I'm telling you, you and I have talked about this before. We've known each other long enough, man. I am just a huge fan. I don't hate the Golden State Warriors like most people around here, and it has nothing to do with liking the Warriors or not in terms of the team. It's 100% the style of play, the way they move the ball, the way they move, the players move without the ball, the obvious real identity that's something other than ISO ball. I mean, I love it. I absolutely love it. You look at the Rockets this year. I've not enjoyed watching the Rockets, I mean, since the championship years, the way I enjoyed them this year with just the fact you had a bunch of young dudes. Every night was one that you might see something you never saw before. But the defense, the bought in as a team, it's just I love watching that sports of that cloth and cut from that cloth. And this finals, B. Scott, is so fascinating to me because whether you're looking at the Indiana Pacers fast-paced, offensive, you know, high-flying team approach, or you're looking at the defense – that Oklahoma City Thunder brings to the table along with the MVP and the ability to score at will with a great supporting cast. Any way you look at it, man, these are two teams that are team-driven, team-first types of organizations, and it's going to be fun. But I got to get the B. Scott breakdown, NBA Finals edition. We got you in the studio. I can't let you in here and not talk about this. These finals cranking up tonight, man. What you got?
Yeah, man. So I talked about this before, but the strength on strength part of it, and we mentioned styles make fights. That's the best part about this. And I know you're, you know, fixated a little bit on the team aspect of it, but I mean, look, as far as breaking down the teams themselves and what they do well, man, I just can't get over how the Indiana Pacers have been able to get this far. Basically playing in a way that growing up they told you is not really the way to win in playoff basketball, that the game is going to slow down. You can't shoot as many threes. You can't run as much as you would like to in the playoffs. And again, man, the Pacers just like, man, bunk that. We're going to do it anyway. And look, no lead has been safe. Think about this, Clint. This Pacers team, and this is why I'm rooting for the Pacers, they have more comebacks down 7 points or more with less than a minute to go in the game just in this postseason than anybody's ever done ever, right? It had only been done once They've done it three times. So they've done something.
Wait. Say that again. Clean that up for me.
Down 7 points or more.
Okay.
With less than a minute to go.
Okay.
They have three comebacks like that just in this postseason.
Wow.
It had only happened once in all of NBA history before that. 2014, Oklahoma City Thunder did it one time. But other than that, it had never been done.
They've done it three times.
They've done it three times in this postseason, so I call them the walk 'em down Pacers because it doesn't really matter what the matchup is, what the lead is. They will walk you down. No lead is safe, and that is what makes them so fascinating. But then on the other side of it, you got the Thunder, who, to be fair, they ain't seen no defense like that. They being the Indiana Pacers. Right. They have not seen a defense quite like the Thunder. And that's not a knock on anybody else because, look, I think the Cavaliers, when they're healthy, they got a hell of a defense, right? They got, you know, defensive player of the year type guys on the team and all of that. But, look, this Oklahoma City Thunder defense is borderline historic. The way that they defend a three, something that the Indiana Pacers do really well. Their team defense, kind of to your earlier point of what you really like about this team or these two teams, they play team defense better than anybody else. So something's got to give in this matchup. I'm picking Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know if we got to that point yet, but I'm picking Oklahoma City Thunder, spoiler alert, in this one. So that's where my head is going. But my heart is with the Pacers because I love the style and how they have just defied the conventional wisdom and how we view playoff basketball.
I can't wait to watch, man. I just, again, very, very rarely do I look forward to watching the game of basketball, the matchup. So, sure, I enjoy watching certain players that the athletic ability is just through the roof and off the charts, even on a stage where you got the best of the best. But man, that styles makes fights, man. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's talk a little bit about this real quick, y'all. B. Scott, who's your X factor in this game? You already picked OKC.
Yeah, okay, right? I got OKC.
All right, now who's your X factor in that's going to push OKC over the top in this series?
So, look, Alex Caruso is my X. I just think he's their X factor for their team.
You mean the bald mamba.
The bald mamba, Alex Caruso, College Station, Texas A&M's own Alex Caruso. I think he's just, not just in this series, but he's their X factor, period, in any context, because he's got this Swiss Army knife ability to him. Can pretty much do all the doesn't do anything great, but basically does everything pretty good, right? So, like, he's a Swiss Army knife in that kind of way. If he did something great, he'd be, you know, kidding. He'd be a starter and a, you know, kind of more of a star player. But it ain't nothing wrong with being Alex Caruso. I wouldn't mind being an Alex Caruso type, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, for sure.
It's pretty damn good. So he is the X factor for me. But can I give y'all one on the Pacers side?
All right, come on.
Because I think this part is real interesting, and this feels like it's cheating because he's their star player and their best player. But Tyrese Halliburton versus this team, I think it's real specific to point out, he's not very aggressive historically against this team, and they have defended him better than pretty much anybody has ever defended Tyrese Halliburton over the last two seasons when he's faced them. So a big characteristic of this matchup is he's not nearly as aggressive against the Oklahoma City Thunder as he normally is against other teams. That's going to have to change if they're going to have a chance against this team.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't surprise me. And I may be dead-ass wrong on this, but I think your more aggressive, defensive-oriented teams that are getting your face kind of deal, I think Halliburton's going to struggle with overall.
Yeah.
Because I watch Halliburton, no disrespect to his game, but I don't see again, on that stage, I don't see like a super athletic dude that's got crazy twitch and crazy hops and love his style, love his brand, love what he does. But it seems like, boy, if you got a team that has real defenders that can get up in your jersey with you, I could see where maybe he would struggle and probably is aware and knows, hey, man, I got to move the ball a little bit more than normal. But anyway.
And they got no less than three or four of those guys.
I like Jalen Williams, man. I said it before. I think OKC wins the series. I don't think that they can do it solely on the back of SGA. I think he's going to need help. I think he's going to need more help than Jalen and company typically give him. I think Jalen's going to have to go off. And look, I think I saw yesterday where Jalen's averaging over 22 points a game or something.
Yeah, no, he's been excellent.
I mean, so that may get it done, but doing it four of the seven games, I think OKC wins this. Jalen Williams, to me, is the X factor. And I'm with you. I'm going OKC right there. Okay, now, Dusty Baker. We ain't heard from Dusty Baker in a while, but the Houston Chronicle damn sure did. Dusty Baker's writing a book, apparently. He's got a lot to talk about with his time here in Houston. This should not surprise any Astros fan, but it damn sure will fascinate you. We're going to talk a little bit about Dusty Baker and that World Series run in 22 and the fallout afterwards. We'll do that next right here at Sports Radio 610.
I'm doing the World Series.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills behind the glass. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, baby. Houston's sports leader. And, you know, they give old Dirty the steering wheel every now and then when Ron's out of town. And sometimes we can get off in the ditch a little bit now, and it looks like I did that. Dusty Baker is not writing a book. Dusty Baker was interviewed in a book. Right. So you see how that you see how that honest mistake could happen there? I just want to let y'all know that was an honest mistake. Dusty Baker was in a book. Interviewed in a book and quoted.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On his time in Houston. B. Scott, you got the details. Catch us up.
Yeah, man. So there is a veteran baseball writer by the name of Scott Miller. This name is familiar. I feel like Scott Miller wrote for CBSSports.com back in the day. But either way, he's a longtime baseball writer who just published or is publishing a book called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. And so he's got a chapter in there where he's interviewing black managers, and he interviews a couple of them, Cito Gaston and Dusty Baker. They were teammates back in the day, and they are two of only three black managers to win a World Series. But as he's doing this chapter, he gets into this conversation about Dusty Baker, and that's where we get some insight into his time with the Astros, and specifically the postseason run in 2022 that led to the franchise's second World Series. And the gist of it is there was some disagreement, and we knew a bit of this, but we got some specificities from the actual manager himself, Dusty Baker. But that's the gist of it, is them getting into some of the disagreements and the things that Dusty Baker did in terms of just going with his gut and sticking to his guns and his beliefs as a manager versus what the organization perhaps wanted him to do and maybe even was directing him to do. And it speaks to, I think, to the point of the book, it speaks to sort of how managers have been neutered a little bit and how for the most part it's the organization overall that's running the baseball team. You know, maybe the manager actually writes the lineup out, but he don't really get to decide the lineup. It's sometimes part of really what the organization wants and what the organization wants him to do. And, you know, Dusty Baker is old school. You know, I was mentioning this to you off air yesterday. He's Hank Aaron's guy.
I'm from a different generation. Yeah.
This dude was out there playing back in 1969 or something like that. You know, like Dusty Baker is not here for your little nerd baseball. Like, you going to tell me about how baseball works, whether you like or agreed. And we all had our gripes at times with some of the things that Dusty Baker did.
Well,
but you certainly understand kind of where that division would come from. Him feeling like he probably forgot more about baseball than some of these guys could ever know. And then also them looking at it and saying, hey, man, the numbers say this, and maybe you should do that. And so that was the back and forth, man. Dusty Baker goes through a list of decisions that were made in the 2022 World Series that actually worked out for the Astros and worked out in their favor, but were against the wishes of the front office.
Yeah, and I thought the ones that he singled out and pointed out, now it may have been the fact that they worked out pretty good and won a World Series made it all make sense. But these are ones with Dusty Baker, like you said, some folks love, some folks hate, some folks didn't care. But like, these were moves with Dusty Baker. Martin Maldonado, do you stick with Martin Maldonado, or do you go to, was it Christian Vasquez at that time?
Yeah, Christian Vasquez at the time, yep.
I was big into, again, I don't need to agree with everything, but the method to the madness with Dusty Baker on all three of these moves, I happen to be side with Dusty Baker on. The one with Martin Maldonado, I understand if Martin Maldonado is that important to a pitching staff. I understand if he's the voice, one of a handful of voices in your locker room, one of the leaders. Then you got to stick with him in that nine hole hitting sub 200.
Yeah.
The other one was
so these are let me give you the three moves that are pointed out specifically in the book. So Dusty Baker tells Scott Miller, longtime veteran baseball writer who's writing this book, nobody wanted to play Yuli Gurriel. Okay, let's remember back, they had traded for Trey Mancini from the Baltimore Orioles at the time. Yep. Okay. He says nobody wanted to play Maldi to catch. Okay, they traded for Christian Vasquez, so that makes sense. They wanted Christian Vasquez to catch. And then the other one that was interesting to me is the operations people didn't want Jeremy Pena to bat second either. But he said, you got to do what you think is right. And, you know, I'm a numbers guy, too. I've always been a numbers guy, but I don't use them 100%.
Yeah.
And so that was the gist of it, the gist of the disagreement between Dusty Baker and the organization
at that time. And you may have said this earlier in the longer version, but it's your 2020, at this point, 2022 analytically driven operations department versus an old school manager that has a feel for the game and a feel for his team. And it ended up working out tremendously. I mean, Maldonado obviously was very, very important. We've seen since Maldi left the importance of Maldi.
Yep.
Right? And you look at Yuli Gurriel. I believe that's the year that Yuli was horrendous in the regular season. And then all of a sudden, and you look at, he wasn't unbelievable in the playoffs, but you look at the numbers, the box scores in the playoffs, he's the best hitter.
He was damn good in the World Series.
That's right.
Until he got hurt.
I remember correctly in the playoffs, he had the best average in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was a three. He went back to being, so you remember the year before, he won the batting title.
Yep.
Or it was right there with it. And then, so because he hit over 300 the year before. Mm-hmm. And then he fell off a cliff during the regular season, right? Yep, and that's part of the reason why they went and got Mancini. Part of the reason why they didn't want him to play him.
Right.
And then he woke up and found it in the postseason until he got hurt there at the end of the World Series.
And then that's the year that Jeremy Pena became.
Jeremy Pena, yeah. First year Jeremy Pena, rookie replacing Carlos Correa. And you could see why maybe there was some hesitance on the organization side. But Dusty Baker does this thing also in this passage where he talks about being able to look in a man's face and tell him what he's about.
Yeah.
And I can see how an analytics guy doesn't really want to roll with that. But Absolutely. Dusty Baker is from that era of, hey, man, I can look in your eyes and tell what you're about. And apparently in Jeremy Pena, he felt like he had that dog in him. And sure enough,
knew he was going to be dropping them panties.
Sure enough, he did.
And
him batting second turned out to be a really good thing. Martin Maldonado, for as much of a disaster as he was at the plate, he crowded the plate on one of those in one of those games that started a rally. Y'all remember that, where he got hit by a pitch and the Astros were down 1-0. He crowds the plate, gets hit by a pitch, and the Astros rally. I forget, that's game 5, game 6, one of those two games.
Let's go, Rocket.
And so even Maldonado's light-hitting ass was able to help him out. Jeremy Pena works out as the number two.
As light-hitting ass. Not no-hitting, but light-hitting
ass. And then as the number two hitter, or in the two-hole with Jeremy Pena, he was the clear table setter for Yordan Alvarez to do some of the things that he did in that run. So those things ended up working out, even if maybe some of the conventional wisdom was on the side of the organization at that time.
It's a beautiful thought. I mean, that Dusty Baker's putting out there, man. Just that because I'm a firm believer in that as well, man. I mean, whether you're talking baseball or you're talking people, man, looking somebody in the eye and seeing what they're all about is extremely powerful. I understand the advanced stats, the analytics. I get all that, and there's obviously The whole league believes in it. So there's obviously an advantage there. But, man, having a manager that has the ability to do what you look in the eyes of individuals and say, nah, we're going to – this decision is going to be based on my gut feeling about this guy that I spend every day with versus those advanced stats. That's a powerful stance, and I agree with Dusty.
Well, I want to say this now since we're on the topic, though. I feel like especially in retrospect – in both years, I owe Dusty a little bit of an apology because I can even remember at the time feeling like, man, between Yuli and Martin Maldonado, man, you got feel like two automatic outs in your lineup,
yeah.
Right? And then the next year when it's Abreu and Maldonado, I felt the same way. Man, you got two automatic outs in your lineup. And so I remember at that time I wanted to see more Christian Vasquez, whether it was at first base or at catcher. I remember the rookie – Yonner Diaz year of wanting to see the, so that next year of wanting to see him either at first base or at catcher because you had the Abreu Maldonado conundrum that was similar to the Gurriel Maldonado conundrum. And at both turns, it seemed like Dusty's gut was probably the right one, even if I was looking at the numbers and saying, man, this doesn't look right to me.
Yeah, I was never really the three situations he cites, I was wholeheartedly in Dusty's court. I was never opposed or for you know Dusty in the sense of like you know this is what's making or allowing this team to win, but I always respect and admired and loved the fact that we did have a manager that had the ability, whether you like the decision or not, had the ability to look a guy in the eye and buck back at some of the advanced stat stuff. I think that's powerful. I do fast forward to now, Dusty no longer being here, and Joe Espada being the manager for the Astros. I do try to again fast forward this thing to, okay, as an Astros fan, what am I dealing with now? This, unfortunately for me, it makes the Joe Espada manager spot make a little more sense. I think Joe's probably a guy that's going to do a little less bucking than Dusty.
I'm trying to
buy into what the operations department or the general manager or whoever is putting their hands on the starting lineup or the rotation or the roster. I would imagine Joe's more of a guy that's going to conform a little bit versus push back.
Yeah, I think Joe is making a lot of the in-game stuff is where probably the extent of his managerial power is.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, you know, how he comes up as a manager, like I think he's much more of the school of the organization sort of sets the tone and your job is to go out there and execute the overall organizational vision. Whereas again, man, Dusty Baker been around since the late 60s, early 70s, played with Hank Aaron. Like, he's like, come on, man, what are you even talking about? And again, it's just a different era and a different generation. I feel like kind of to Dusty's point, they used numbers back then, but I don't know if they lived and died by them in the way that it feels like they do now. Like one of the other, I guess the only other black manager that won a World Series that I interviewed in this piece, Dave Roberts, gets criticized for the exact opposite, for being too much of an organization's manager, going too formulaic with it. Now, of course, he's won a World Series as well, or won a couple of them now as well, but that is sort of like the give and take. Do you go more with the manager who's got great instincts, or do you want the manager that just abides by the math and is true to the numbers? It's probably an answer of a mix of both.
Trade talks for Kevin Durant, I would imagine, are heating up a little bit. At least it's topic of conversation. Our Rockets have been linked to KD, and I got a would you rather, boys. We'll explain what's going on in Phoenix to make this important to discuss now. But my would you rather. Rockets fans, I think you're going to like this. We'll do this next right here on Sports Radio 610.